Welcome to the What I Learned in History Class podcast.
I'm your host, Anna.
And I'm your co-host, Jenna. Today we have tea that is hot piping and ready to spill regarding President Nixon and the Watergate scandal.
This week we'll be covering one of the biggest scandals in the United States history that ultimately led to President Nixon becoming the first president in history to resign.
The Watergate scandal.
Now I think we should start from the beginning. This all started with the release of the Pentagon Papers, published by the New York Times and the Washington Post. The Pentagon Papers were a 7,000-page document disseminated by Daniel Ellsberg, revealing classified information about the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War.
This was important not only because it revealed secrets kept from the American people, and it was marked legal to be shared in the Supreme Court case in the New York Times versus United States, but also because it emphasized Nixon's paranoia.
This will be important later because it complicates claims made about Nixon, like the claims from the Watergate, and challenges the idea of conspiracy threats against him.
After the information was leaked, Nixon's administration created a team of ex-CIA members called the Plumbers to ensure internal security and prevent more leaks like that of the Pentagon Papers. Once the Plumbers saw President Nixon was running in the 1972 election, their motives took a turn.
Now that we have the background information out of the way, let's talk about the Watergate and their involvement in it. The Plumbers planned a break-in at the Watergate office, but on June 17, 1972, one small detail cost the mission success.
That night, security found doors cracked open with tape covering the locks to prevent the burglars from being locked out of the Watergate office. When the police arrived, they found five men, who were later arrested on charges of attempted burglary and the attempted bugging of phone lines in one of the offices.
President Nixon swore that he and the White House staff had nothing to do with what went down at the Watergate, and many believed him, declaring the 1972 election a success. However, the break-in was tied back to Nixon's re-election campaign through a $25,000 check to an international account held by one of the Watergate's burglars, Bernard Barker.
This check opened an investigation into Nixon and his involvement with the incident, overseen by Judge Sirica, who was looking for the whole truth. The case took a turn in March of 1973 when James W. McCord wrote Judge Sirica a letter confirming that there was more to the story. This investigation was now put into the hands of the Supreme Court.
The court discovered President Nixon had software installed to record anything that happened in the Oval Office. Although his original goal was to hear what people had to say about him, it came back to bite him when they ordered the tapes to be presented as evidence.
After accumulating these tapes, they discovered what was referred to as the smoking gun tapes, shortly after the process of impeachment was approved and contained mysterious gaps of silence.
Following these tapes was an event coined as the Saturday Night Massacre. It all began when Archibald Cox, the special prosecutor for this case, refused to accept transcripts in place of the tapes themselves.
And stay with us here, as there is a lot of names in the next sentence. President Nixon ordered Attorney General Richardson to fire Cox for this. Richardson refused, and he was fired. So Nixon ordered Deputy Attorney General Ruckelshaus to fire Cox, but he also refused and was fired. Finally, Solicitor General Robert Bork complied and fired Cox. This route of firing down the line until achieving his goal was a massacre of many jobs for those once in positions of power.
As the future of Nixon unfolded, he took the most logical step he could to save himself from further political embarrassment by total impeachment by both the House and the Senate. President Nixon resigned on August 9, 1974, becoming the first president to do so.
And now for an interview with our special guest, former U.S. Congressman Pete Olson. So when Nixon was caught, what do you think would have happened if the government hadn't reacted or responded?
Again, thank you so much for the time to chat with you about President Nixon. But if Congress had not started the impeachment process against Mr. Nixon, our Constitution would be worthless and the American democracy would effectively be dead. There'd be no separation of powers where the legislative branch writes laws the executive branch enforces laws. The Supreme Court kind of plays referee on what Congress does and what the White House does, the executive branch. Nixon was he was consumed by political paranoia. I mean, he always said someone's out to get him. It was the media or the Democrat Party. And how crazy this man was, how obsessed he was, he had his guys break into the Democrats' national headquarters, Watergate Hotel. We was about to have the largest victory, margin of victory in the entire history of our nation. He's about to win the Electoral College. He's about to win 49 states and lose only 2 states, Massachusetts and the District of Columbia. And he broke in there. What scares me the most, looking back as I grew up, about Mr. Nixon's attitude and why I think we acted properly to impeach him, was he was interviewed by a reporter named David Frost, and in the middle of all this Watergate scandal. And Mr. Frost asked, my quote, "So what, in a sense, you're saying is there is a certain situations where a president can decide that it's in the best interest of this nation and do something illegal?" And President Nixon replied, "Well, when the president does it, that means that it's not illegal." I don't know how you feel about that, but you know, Jenna, you and I have been raised in America. We believe in separation of powers, that no one is a king. And President Nixon basically, with those comments, said, "I am the king. I can't do anything illegal." So again, I think it was the right thing to impeach him and force him to resign and get this ship righted.
What impact do you think Nixon's resignation had on the government and democracy? And what about our reputation for the world?
Well, Jenna, that's a great question, another one. But I think it made this, the process of impeaching Nixon, forcing him to resign, made our democracy stronger, and it showed the entire world we're a strong democracy. I mean, if we had done that, that 200-year-old document, the Constitution, would have been just a bunch of gibberish. And right now, after we acted, it guaranteed, showed the whole world we're more free, we're more powerful than we've ever been. And the fact that we can take down a leader for breaking the law says a lot to the bad guys of the world and a lot to the good guys of the world. And the tyrants may think that weakens us, but that is okay, because guess what? Our resolve has always surprised them, and we've always defeated them. So again, I think this whole process of impeachment resignation was good for democracy and good for the world.
For those who have made the heavy decision of whether or not to impeach, how is the decision made?
Well, that is the most serious vote I could take in Congress. I voted to impeach Mr. Trump. And essentially, by voting to impeach a president, whether it's a man or a woman, whomever, you're effectively taking away the vote of the people a year or 2 or 3 years or 4 years earlier. And that's a big darn deal in a democracy to do. And we've done this 4 times. For Andrew Johnson, after President Lincoln was shot, so we talked about Richard Nixon, happened with Bill Clinton, and with Donald Trump. But each time, it's become more politicized. And that concerns me because, you know, we have evidence of Mr. Johnson. He was very abusive after President Lincoln was killed, diverted from the policies, did a lot of things he shouldn't do as our president. He was impeached, not forced to resign, but first went impeached. And then Mr. Nixon broke the law. It broke the law, based it above the law. That got him impeached and forced to resign. But again, Mr. Clinton, an affair with an intern, and Mr. Trump, another affair. I mean, that's it's not morally right, but still, it's to impeach over that stuff is pretty concerning. And you can't use this as a weapon. It's got to be something that's controlled and used when justified. Again, when a man says, "I'm above the law," when he's in the White House, that's when we should impeach him. We did. And he resigned.
Yes, we believe that Richard Nixon would have been impeached if he had not resigned from office first, because his attitude as president that was seen in the interview with David Frost demonstrated his disregard of power and for the checks and balances seen within this country. I think people of his own party would have voted to impeach him, especially after hearing from Mr. Olson, a Republican like Nixon was, talk of the disgrace and embarrassment Nixon caused.
Although President Nixon achieved many great things during his presidency, his partaking in the Watergate scandal trumps his achievements by ranking him in the bottom five. Other presidents, such as President Buchanan, is also ranked in our bottom five because of his presidency. President Buchanan is known as the do-nothing president, which is why he is known as one of the worst presidents in U.S. history. Even though a president being involved in a scandal ranks him as a horrible president, we rank him higher than Buchanan because he did achieve great things during his presidency. Andrew Johnson was another president considered to be one of the worst and was one of four people to have been impeached. With our prior knowledge and Mr. Olson's implication about Nixon, we conclude that he is one of the worst presidents ever.